Ramsey TV.
All right, I said I was going to comment on Aaron Welch's article concerning whether or not everything came into being through Christ or nothing came into being through Christ. Aaron doesn't believe anything came into being through Christ. Nothing is through Christ. And he wrote an article a few years back that I commented on and really critically commented on. And I'm going to show you those articles there underneath here. Look under the video. I will link you to my refutation of Aaron's articles. Some people have read Aaron's articles and were quite impressed, because some people are impressed with lots of words, fancy words, and everything, and they don't really critically look at the substance. They're kind of dazzled by the writing. And Aaron's a great writer. He really is. Every other thing the guy's written, I really love. Great. I've recommended his writing to people. But on this topic, it's terrible. It's awful. And I've told him that. He knows it. He's a friend of mine. I love him. His wife, his kid, they're just a great, great family. But on this topic, it's just the scholarship is really bad. But it's, other places, it's great. But here, it's terrible. It's really the motive, as I said, was to undo the Trinity. And unfortunately, Clyde Pilkington took Aaron's articles and made a book out of it, which is so sad. That book's going to burn up at the days of Christ, and it's going to smell like roasted marshmallows. It really is. But anyway, that's what they did. No, I don't know what the book's called. Well, I think it should be called Nothing is Through Christ. That's what they should have named the book. Let's be honest about it. Just go right to the thing. Nothing is through Christ. Yeah, nothing came out of Christ. I'm telling you, this to me is just as dumb as a teaching of a teaching as the local flood of Noah. Yeah, Clyde Pilkington also believes that the flood of Noah was local, as does Stephen Hill, which to me is unfathomable. Unfathomable. But what would I name that book? If they published a book about why the flood of Noah was local, I would call it The Local Flood of Noah, and then the subtitle would be Film at 11. Well, because if it's only a local flood, it's just, you know, just a little item on the news, you know, after you get through the... Well, no, I guess the weather and traffic will come after that. It might be the third story in the list. Local flood near Mount Ararat inconveniences 5 blocks. But we do have. I actually interviewed. So I might... this is an impressive interview. So, I mean, you can listen to this on your own. Make your own judgment. I did interview a survivor of the local flood of Noah. And... yeah, I'm going to go ahead and show you that interview now, and then I'll continue with my first newsletter on this topic. So go ahead. Let's run that tape of an interview I did earlier with an actual survivor of the local flood of Noah. I'm pleased to bring to MZTV an actual survivor of the local flood of Noah, Buford Lowwater Angleton, who was a resident of Oberlara, Turkey, in the district of Pontus at the time. Do we have him? Do we have Buford? Okay, there he is. Buford Lowwater Angleton. Yes, lived in Pontus. And Pontus being about what? How far, Buford, would you say Pontus is from Mount Ararat?
I can't tell you how many miles, but I can tell you how many furlongs.
Okay, great. How many furlongs?
I'd say about 19 dozen furlongs, maybe 20 on a windy day.
So what do you remember about the now famous flood of biblical lore?
Well, we ain't seen nothing like rain before, because the water done come up from the ground mostly, but something up there in the sky just broke up, and I ain't saying that there weren't no water coming up from the ground, because there was. I'm just saying, dang, we ain't seen nothing like it.
Wow, That's really terrible. How long did the water act like that?
Well, 40 days and, 40 nights.
Well, surely that kind of water would have flooded the whole earth.
Oh, no, it weren't that bad. It ain't weren't that much water. It come up from top kind of like more like a drizzle. And up from the bottom kind of like what you call your sprinkler systems.
That must have been traumatic for you.
Oh, yeah, my basement done flooded straight away. Thank God I didn't finish it. I was going to finish it, but I'm glad I didn't, because goddamn, that there water come halfway up my foosball table.
Yeah, that would have been quite an inconvenience there. It's a wonder you survived.
Oh, it weren't that bad. It was just a local flood, you know, film at 11 type stuff. While we was back to normal about a week after that, although I had to get a new foosball table, that just about tore me up.
Great. Anything else you want to tell us about that date?
Let me see now. Oh, yeah, there was this one neighbor of mine, kind of the silent type. You know the type. And for a great number of years, he was building this huge boat. I'm talking like about the size of your Kmart. He done loaded up two of every animal he could find. I'm talking about your giraffes, talking about your elephants, your jackasses. He even had a couple of them duck-billed platypuses. He had a hell of a time loading them up, I can tell you that. They were slippery suckers, but not as bad as them cats he had. Oh my God, you should have seen that. Anyways, I couldn't figure out what the hell he was up to, so I'm kind of bold like this. I just come up to him and say, "What the hell are you up to?" He said he was preparing for a worldwide flood. Imagine that, a worldwide flood. You ever heard anything like that?
Well, the Bible does mention it.
Well, I'd say that no feller. I'd say he was nuttier than a squirrel turd. Oh, he had a hell of a time getting them squirrels on board, too, I might add. Hell of a time. He had an easier time with the elephants, if you ask me. But as I said, he was crazy as a sprayed cockroach. You know what I mean? Nuttier than a porta potty at a peanut festival. I mean, the wheels was still turning, you know, but the hamster done died.
Yeah, but the worldwide flood never happened, according to you.
And no shit, Sherlock. That boy done looked a fool. He looked a fool he was when the water come up only to his tiller. By God, the water done more damage to my foosball table than the tiller of that there Kmart boat.
May I ask you what might appear to be an unrelated question, Mr. Angleton?
Sure, suits me. Go ahead.
You believe in the preexistence of Christ?
Hell to the no. Why the hell would I believe in that? The Trinitarians use that to prove their stupid teaching that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is all God. There ain't no way I'm letting them get away with that. So I just done away with the whole thing in my mind. The whole notion that Jesus Christ pre-existed before coming into the world, he done nothing of the kind. Why, the Son of God first existed when he squirted out of his mommy's vagina. Right along with that there placenta.
Placenta?
Placenta, can't you hear me, boy?
Oh, you mean placenta.
Whatever.
But Buford, the scriptures say that Jesus Christ did exist before Bethlehem. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says that all was created through him. Colossians 1:16 says that in him all is created.
Never mind all that. We got to take the wind out of the sails of them Trinitarians no matter what. Let me tell you something, boy. Maybe this will give you a clue. One time I got wind that some bad dudes was going to rob my house. So me and my wife, we done went through the whole house, we planted dynamite everywhere, and we done detonated it, and we blew up the whole house. We spoiled the plans of those no-gooders. Listen, boy, sometimes that's the price you gotta pay.
Yeah, but you blew up your house.
That's a good one, kid. You're a real comedian.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Mr. Angleton. Keep yourself dry out there, eh? So, I don't know. I mean, there's an eyewitness. Make your own judgment on that. So, as I said to you last week, it seems incredible for it to be necessary to defend the truth of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, existing before his coming to Bethlehem. I mean, it is so blatantly stated in so many passages that the Son of God existed. And I know you're tired of this. I am too, but I said I would do this. I would comment on Aaron's article, and I'm going to do it. Although on Friday, I think I hit the pinnacle. I mean, I think I nailed it. I don't need to do anything else after Friday. But for the sake of consistency and for the sake of dealing with this specific article that some people are deceived by, I'm going to do this, like I said. And of course, Aaron makes a big deal out of the fact that God said he created the earth alone by himself. And I suppose that's where Jason got his mistake, by borrowing the error from Aaron, ignoring, as I said last week, the entire 4-chapter context of Isaiah, where God is comparing himself to other gods, other small g gods. And God is saying, there is no other God beside me. And so in the relative aspect, in the aspect of comparing himself, in the aspect of other deities, small d deities helping him or informing him of things concerning the creation of the earth, God said, no, I acted alone. I acted alone. And if you read the context, he's obviously saying he acted alone in relation to other deities. So he goes on a tangent about that. It's all wasted words. All right, concerning Matthew 19:4, Aaron writes this. Similarly, Christ appears to have been completely unaware that anyone other than God the Father had anything to do with the creation of the universe. Now, this is ridiculous. Listen to this. Whenever Christ referred to the creation event recorded in Genesis, he gave God, whom he referred to in the third person, full credit for it. The references there are Matthew 19:4, Mark 10:6, and Mark 13:19. Christ was not, this is me now, Christ was not completely unaware that anyone, quote, other than God had, quote, anything to do with the creation of the universe. For instance, in Matthew 19:4, it's not Christ's intention to brag about or even mention his role as the channel of all creation. This is an absurd argument. Well, when Jesus is talking about the creation of the world, he doesn't say that he was responsible for it or that all things came through him. Not only does he not talk about that, Aaron, he doesn't mention anything concerning the body of Christ, concerning the salvation of all, concerning the conciliation of the world. He was mum about all that. And we know why, because it wasn't time to reveal any of that stuff. So he's certainly not going to be in Israel going about bragging about all things came into being through him. They couldn't even handle him saying he was God's son. Here's the passage. Matthew 19, verses 3 and 4. And the Pharisees came to him, trying him, and saying, is it allowed one to dismiss his wife for every cause? Now he, answering, said, did you not read that the Maker from the beginning makes them male and female? Yeah, that's it. The Aaron would use this as a proof text, arguing for the non-preexistence before Bethlehem of Christ, arguing for the nothing is through Christ. Christ created nothing. He didn't exist before Abraham. This he's offering as a proof text that when mentioning the beginning does not insert there, well, it all came through me, by the way, just so you losers realize that. This is absurd. It's almost comical. And it demonstrates to me, I'm a critical reader. I don't know, other people read this article, or these series of articles Aaron wrote, must not be reading it critically, I don't know, but this demonstrates to me the desperation of the argument. I mean, what should Christ have said? Is this what he should have said? Did you not read that God and I, from the beginning, make them male and female? I remember that day. You should have seen me there by the banks of the Euphrates, forming Adam from the soil with my bare hands. I looked at him lying there, inert, and I said, now that's good. And then I made Eve, and I'm like, holy Toledo, I think I just outdid myself. Because he didn't say that, therefore, Jesus Christ didn't cooperate and work with God and bringing all things into existence. You're kidding me. Oh, somebody might say, well, Jesus Christ would never play dumb. Oh, yeah. No, this isn't the only time that he didn't reveal everything. On the road to Emmaus, remember that? On the day of his resurrection, Jesus himself, he was walking with two disciples, but he held their eyes, God held their eyes so that they didn't recognize him. Jesus asked, what have you been talking about? They told him of the life and death of the one whom they'd hoped would be the Messiah of Israel. They were mourning his death. These guys were depressed, shuffling along the road to Emmaus. In mourning, but at the same time, they were amazed at a story they had heard from some of their own people that Jesus Christ had been seen alive. Now, playing dumb as to his role as the subject of the conversation. He's the subject of their conversation. They don't know it's him. Jesus speaks of himself in the third person. And I'm quoting now Luke 24, 25 through 27. O foolish and tardy of heart to be believing on all which the prophets speak. Must not the Christ be suffering these things and be entering into his glory? To use Aaron's logic, he would have to say, oh, he doesn't even know he's the Christ. Speaking of himself in the third person, that's the caliber of this proof, quote unquote. That's the caliber. It's absurd. It's embarrassing. Because again, to follow the logic that because in Matthew 19:3, when Jesus says, did you not read that the maker from the beginning makes them male and female, because he did not elaborate on his role, therefore he didn't have a role. That is as illogical as it gets. And from a guy as smart as Aaron, it was shocking to me to read this article. Shocking. And again, Jesus did this constantly. I'm giving you a great example now from Luke 24. Must not the Christ, he's speaking of himself in the third person, be suffering these things and be entering into his glory, and beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interprets to them in all the scriptures that which concerns himself. But he's doing it all in the third person as though he's not the guy. He cloaks himself the whole time, again, referring to himself in the third person, as though he were not that person. Now let's take Aaron's logic from the Matthew 19 passage and let's drag it and drop it into this passage and see what happens. And I would say this. Would Aaron say concerning this passage what he said about Matthew 19 using the same brand of logic? This is how I imagine Aaron would have commented on this passage using the same logic. Similarly, Christ himself appears to have been completely unaware that he was the very one of whom the disciples en route to Emmaus were speaking. Whenever Christ refers to the events of his death and resurrection, he gives credit to the Christ and not to himself. That Jesus himself gives the Christ full credit for the events at the recent Passover proves that the man walking with the disciples was not Christ. Yep, same logic. Well, the one walking with them was not Christ, because he's referring to Christ in the third person. Okay, you see how bad that is, I hope. So don't be fooled by the fancy writing, the big words, the verbosity. And I'm not talking about any other of Aaron's articles. I'm talking about this one. So now, because of Luke's illuminating aside, this is Luke writing this, because of Luke's illuminating aside to the reader concerning the identity of the speaker, Aaron wouldn't and couldn't write this way concerning this particular passage. That Jesus, now, because of expedience, sometimes either withheld information or play dumb, doesn't mean and should never be used to prove, quote unquote, that one, either he actually is dumb, or two, he actually had nothing to do with the events in question, either the making of the world or the drama of that memorable Passover. Now, in the Luke passage, we're getting a behind-the-scenes look at the truth of the matter. When the writer Luke says in the following aside, he interprets to them in all the scriptures that which concerns himself. But Jesus, as I said, withheld this tidbit from the two disciples. A similar aside might have been inserted into the Matthew 19 passage, but it wasn't. Had Matthew taken Luke's tack, he might have written this in Matthew 19, 3 and 4. And the Pharisees came to him, trying him and saying, is it allowed one to dismiss his wife for every cause? Now he, answering, said, did you not read that the maker from the beginning makes them male and female? And when he said, maker, he spoke to them that which concerns himself and his mediatory role in the creation of the world with God. Had this been inserted, Aaron wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Had that been inserted in the Matthew 19 passage, like the aside in Luke 24, then Aaron couldn't have quoted Matthew 19 and says, this is proof that Jesus wasn't with God at the creation of the world. Because he didn't mention it? All right, that's enough for now. I'm going to expose the worst of it, okay? You can read the article if you want, but you just got to read things critically. I'm not going to tell you, don't read Aaron's article. Go ahead. But I'm trying to teach you to fish, to not just be pulled along by statements that don't consider either the viewpoint or the context. It's very, very bad form. So please bear with me. This is an important topic, or I wouldn't be teaching on it. Maybe by Wednesday I'll be done with it. I hope so. But in the meantime, all is out of God, and the same all is through Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. That's the word of God.